Balutcha. Tavshin Ayin Ches. Okay, I want to look at this parsha is unbelievable. The amount of different things happening. I mean, I guess every parsha is like that, but I don't know. For some reason, Balutcha just always it's incredibly intriguing. So let's take a look at a few different things, I think perhaps on how they're related. Right. Okay, first thing. It says, Vadabar Shem Moshe Lemar. Ndabir Aaron v'marte lov v'haloscho saneros elmu pnei ha-menoroya iru shiva saneros. Right, the first pasuk in the parsha. So Rashi says, why is the verb v'haloscho used? V'haloscho Hashem halav ola aliyah. Since when you light it, yeah, so the flame rises upward. So that's why they use the terminology ba'aloscha, right? But really, right? It's not just that, because so right seder. But I need to know that it rises on its own, right? Ba'aloscha, right? Ba'adlakoscha when you light it. But why do you have to describe what's going to take place as a result of your writing it, right? Of your lighting it. So Rashi says, he continues, he says, "Chetzorach lahadlik achetei shal heves ola me'ileha." You have to light it until the shal heves, until the flame rises on its own. Now, I didn't see in Chazal, you know, per se, this particular terminology. I mean, they cite Midrashim, but all those Midrashim and the Gemaras even are talking about using certain fuels. They use certain fuels when you light. You can't use, you know, a fuel that's going to flicker, etc. I mean, here we're talking about Shem Zayas anyway. Mm-hmm. So the idea over here is that Rashi sees that it's not just that, obviously, the fuel, the Shemen Zayas, right, is going to be one that doesn't flicker, but that you have to keep your hand there until it rises on its own. Right? In other words, don't just light it and walk away and let it sputter, and then it finally goes up. But when your hand should be there until it rises to the height that it's meant to be. Right. So obviously there must be some sort of lesson in that. In other words, I guess you could say it's an issue of Zekeli van Veyu. You could say that it doesn't look beautiful, etc. You could say that, but the Sfasema says that the lesson of holding the flame there until it rises on its own, he says, is a unique lesson. He says, in the next citation down in the Sfas Emes, he says, "Ki b'chol davar yesh nekuda chius me'Hashem Yisbarach." Once again, Sfas Emesic, right? In every object, in every experience, right, there always is the kernel, the point of Hashem's will that gives this thing existence, that gives this thing purpose. And of course, it's covered in layers of Dvarim Gashmin, in all sorts of, you know, different layers, depending on what we're talking about, what sort of experience, what sort of object. It's covered in layers. But when a person, as it were, holds, yeah, he comes into contact with it, with his Ratzon to reveal the Ratzon Hashem that's in any given action, in any given experience, in any given object. So then what it's almost magnetic. It causes that will of Hashem, right, that kernel of why this happened or why I'm doing this or what this object is about to rise upward. He says you have to keep your hand there until it rises. In other words, you have to do the mitzvah, right? In other words, if a person is doing, it's kilu, it's a limud in mitzvos. It's a limud in mitzvos. If a person, as it were, does things perfunctorily, so then it's always going to be, it's going to sputter. Maybe the light afterwards, but it's going to sputter. But if you wish, as it were, to actively be involved in the mitzvah, to bring out that which is best in you, to actualize the kokos you have in you. And the way that you do that is by actualizing the hidden presence of the Borei Olam in any given, once again, act or object or experience. So that's why you do it. You do it until it rises upward. Lashon, he says, is kibachol davar yishne kura schiyus mashem yizbarach. Raksha kol toli ba'avodas ha'odam lo'orer ha'hislavus la'hatos ha'kol Hashem yizbarach. Because the world is a blank slate. It's always, I shouldn't say it's a blank slate, the world is always standing at a crossroads. Will it reveal Hashem's will, or will Hashem's will remain buried underneath the sheath, underneath the layers, underneath the mask of Olam Hazeh? And even when you do a mitzvah, right? Even when you do a mitzvah, if a person does it perfunctorily, so then he's done the mitzvah, and the mitzvah is unique. It's true, it's not part of the standard flow of Olam Hazeh, but its soul he's left, as it were, still attached to the trappings of Olam Hazeh. Right? He's left it there. So if he keeps it, though he does it with his slavus, keeps his hand there, so then it's over the rotzon in all the dvarim, in everything. That's on the one hand. That's one hesber, right, that Rashi says of why it says b'haloscha as opposed to b'hadlakoscha, till the shalchevus rises as its own. And the Sfas HaMes gives us an understanding of what the import of holding your hand there until the shalchevus, until the flame rises on its own, is. Then Rashi says a different perush, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says another perush. He says, "V'o darshu raboseinu mikan shema lo haisa lefnei ha menorah sha'aleha ha kohen omed umeitiv." There were three steps, a small staircase, next to the menorah, right, that the Kohen would stand upon when he would be metiv es aneros, when he would clean out the cups from any residue, meaning oil, wicks, etc., clean them out, and then put in new oil, new wicks. So he'd stand on these stairs when he would clean them out. Problem is that we're not talking about cleaning out the aneros, we're talking about lighting them.
Mm-hmm.
In order to light them, he needs to just take his taper, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Not the one from South America. Take his taper, right? And light what he called the menorah, right? He'd, regardless, even if he's not that tall, what he calls there's plenty of space, right? The only time he needs the steps is to clean it out, because you've got to get above it. You've got to be able to see inside. So there, in order to be comfortable doing it, so you need to stand on the stairs. So why talk about the stairs? Why use the terminology of verb, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why use a verb that refers to stairs, which is not needed to light, but only needed to what it called to clean. And we're not talking about cleaning, we're talking about lighting. So the Panim Yafos says, he says an interesting thing. He gives a halachic answer. He says that this is being addressed to Aaron, even though it didn't have to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Any Kohen could do it, right? But it's being addressed to Aaron, and Aaron wore the tzitz, and on the tzitz was written Hashem's name.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not appropriate that his hands should be raised higher than Hashem's name. So in fact, even though under normal circumstances, when any Kohen, a Kohen Hedjot, would light the menorah, he could stand on the ground and raise his hand upward to light the menorah, even though his hand's now going to be higher than his head, doesn't make a difference. He doesn't wear tzitz. He only wears four begadim. He doesn't wear eight begadim. But the Kohen Gadol, in this case Aaron, since when he lights it, his hand is going to be above the tzitz, so therefore he needs to stand on the staircase and hold his hand down in order to light. That's the way the Panim Yafos explains it. But the Imri Emes says a different perush. The Imri Emes, the son of the Sfas Emes, it was just his 70th yahrzeit, right, just a while ago. The Imri Emes. He's the one who's buried opposite Machane Yehuda.
Hmm.
He died, you know, like basically during, I think it was during the War of Independence. He was buried in a side street there.
I think I know where it is.
Oh, I think we're close to Fast Embassy.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, so So let's read his Lashon. He says, Ulam, in the middle of there, that paragraph before the hatched line. Ulam, right? Ulam. Shehaisa zos ha'achona la'asid, la'eis hester, ad she's batel. Ksiv b'yom tova, heye betov, b'yom ra re'e. Right? It says in Koheles, there's actually more in the pasuk there, right? But he says, yeah, b'yom tova, it says in Koheles, in the day that things are good, right? Heye betov, you be good. Right? You be good. V'yom ra, and in unpleasant days, re'e, see. Again, there's the end of the pasuk there, but he says a very interesting parish on this, re'e. He says, tevis re'e koi ala yom tov, shetzorach odom liros lahakir, al yom ra. He says, not just saying that we would call it yom ra re'e, see, on, what do you see? And again, the pasuk ends over there. It could be referring to what the end of the pasuk is talking about, see what's going to take place then. But he says, no. He says, you always have to have foresight. In other words, you read the pasuk, b'yom tov, heye betov, on a good day, thank you. Behey betov, you should be betov. You should be in a good state. Ubiyom ra, and in the bad day, re'e already, ubiyom ra re'e already in the yom tov, be looking towards the bad day. What does that mean? There are ups and downs in the person's avoda. They're what they refer to as, what do you call it, yimei ava v'yimei sina. The Musar Sefer, Sefer Yashar. Some say Rabbeinu Tam wrote it, some say Al-Mor wrote, some say someone else wrote, something, Yivani. Mm-hmm. But it's a Sefer Kadmon. He says that in Avoda, there are days when you're in the mood,
mm-hmm.
and the days when you're not in the mood. Right? The days you're not in the mood. Essentially, what the Imre Amos is saying is that the stairs were there, right? The stairs were there, even though you didn't need the stairs to do the Hadlaka. But to remind you that there's going to be a time when the lights go out and you need to do a Hatov, you need to clean it out, right? There'll be days where you're not in the mood,
mm-hmm.
right? But when the days are good, do it with a bren. Do it with feeling, right? And remember, there are going to be other days when you're not going to be so inspired, but you need to build up a reservoir now of your shamayim now to do it then, even when lomit chashek lecha, as they say. Right? I'm not in the mood to do it. So it comes out from the beginning of the parsha here, right? It's a certainly between the Svasemis on the first parish in Rashi and the Imri Emes on the second parish in Rashi, we have two major clulling of avoda. You got to do it, right? Don't never do it perfunctorily. Do it till the light lights on its own. And the second thing is, right? Second thing is that even when ready call, when you're lighting it, and it's a good day, and I'm in the mood, and I'm mm-hmm. plugged in, and I'm excited, etc. So remember, though, there are going to be days when you won't feel so plugged in. So there are going to be days when you won't feel so plugged in. You won't feel so plugged in then, make sure that the good days, you remember, you look over to those days that you know it's not going to be the same thing over there, and make sure you build for yourself a reservoir now. Okay. Amen. All right, let's continue. The next piece. So this is what we call this. I entitled this "Doing It Right to Begin With." The first two pieces. Mm-hmm. Let's do it right to begin with. Now, let's examine failure. It says, "Yeah, v'yisu mehar Hashem." Okay, v'yisu mehar Hashem derech shloshes yomim v'arom bris Hashem noseh lifneim derech shloshes yomim l'sur lehem mnucha. Okay, they traveled from the Har Hashem. Water?
No, it's okay. Right.
They traveled from Har Hashem 3 days, and the Oron Bris Hashem is no Salif name, and the Oron, Rashi says, is the Oron that used to go out to Melchama with them, traveled before them. Lasur lehem menuchah, to search out a place of resting for them. ברוך אתה ה' אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו.
אמן.
Okay. Va'anan Hashem aleihem, and the cloud of Hashem was upon them, with them, yomam b'nosam min ha'machaneh. Now we know there were seven clouds. Up top, back front, right left, and in front. Okay. Va'yi ben tzal Aaron, va'yom Moshe kum Hashem v'yafutzo ivecho v'yanusu misanecha mifanecha. We have the famous psukim. When the Aaron is traveling, Moshe said, "Kuma Hashem, right? Kuma Hashem, rise, v'yafutzu evecha, scatter your enemies, v'yanusu misanecha niponecha, and then your adversaries flee before you." Uvenucho yomar, shuva Hashem revos alfei Yisrael, and now when it comes to rest, you say, Shuva Hashem, right? Hashem should, what do you call it? Should we call it? Kilu.
Recline.
Rest here. Stop here, right? Right? Not stop here, but, right? Place his presence here. Ruvavos Alfi Yisrael, upon the tens of thousands and thousands of the Jewish people, 22,000, right? That's the bare minimum for the Hashras Hashchina, that was the Machne Leviyah, 22,000. Then right after that, it says, "Vayiam k'masonim rav azni Hashem, vayishma Hashem vayicharapom, vativar bam eish Hashem atochal b'ktzei ha'machaneh." They're complaining. Right? What are they complaining about? We're schlepping too much on the derech, it's too hard, blah, blah, blah. Right? We're looking for an excuse. Right? To complain against Hashem. What happened? Hashem, what do you call it? Vayicharapom. Right? Vayishma Hashem vayicharapo vativra bam eish Hashem vatochal b'tzei ha'machaneh, and a fireball, yeah, dropped down upon them, whatever, or flame. I shouldn't say fireball, flame. What do you call it? Burned in their midst, tzei ha'machaneh, in the edge of the encampment. Who died? Perhaps the, what do you call it, the lowest echelons. Perhaps what do you call it, amongst them also died the skanim, the what do you call it, the Sanhedrin, the previous Sanhedrin, etc. Vayitzak ha'am Moshe vayispal Moshe l'Hashem vatishka eish, and they call out to Moshe, and Moshe davened for them, and the eish receded. Vayikra shem hakom hu tavirah, they call the place tavirah, place of burning, kibar abam eish Hashem, before the fire of Hashem burned in their midst. And then right after that, vasaf suf asher b'kibo his avu tava, and the Asaf Suf, the mixed multitude that came out, right? Asher b'kibbol, they're in their midst, the ones that came out from Mitzrayim along with the Jewish people, they desired to have a desire, Yisavu ta'ava, v'yashuva yivku ga b'nei Yisrael, and they got b'nei Yisrael also into the same thing, v'amru mi'achilenu basar, and they said, who is going to feed us meat? And then we know from that unfolded later on, well, the event called Kivros HaTa'ava. In other words, the people there were, the request was fulfilled. They got a tremendous amount of slav. They ate it till it came out of their noses. As they were eating it, many died. And the ones who were buried there, they called the place Kibbutz HaTava. That's the place where they buried those who were being desirous. So Rashi says, and Rehi ben Solorim, it says, "Asalo simanios mulafonov mulachrov lomash ein zemekomo." The reverse nunim, right? We talked about this before. The reverse nunim on either side of these two psukim. Avehi ben soa mivunucho yomar. Look in the chumash, you see, right? The reverse nunim there.
Right.
And that says Rashi. It says, "Ein zemekomo v'lama nichtav kan kedei lahafsig ben puronios the puronios." Why are those backwards nunim there? So Rashi mentions one of the opinions in the Gemara in Shabbos. One of the opinions there says, because really it doesn't belong. We hear this pasuk really belongs. Some say, I think Rabbi Bachi says, perhaps the Lactosis say it also, that that 50 parshias earlier, no, there's 50 psuchos stumos earlier in parshias, but Midbar is really where it belongs. That's why they say it needs the nunim hapuchim. I tell you that it really doesn't belong over here. It belongs 50 parshias earlier in parshias Bamidbar. We're talking about setting up the degolim, setting up the encampments with each with their respective flags, as it were, etc. And that's where it really belongs. Oh, why is it put over here? It's put over here to be mafsik, to separate, right, from one Puranas to another Puranas, from one calamity to another calamity. And there's a discussion, what exactly are the calamities that we're talking about over here? Because really, when we read the Chumash, we just see they traveled from Har Hashem 3 days. We don't see any calamities there. Then come the two psukim of Vayhi ben Sa Aaron and Uvnucha Yomar. And then afterwards, the two calamities. There's the Misonim, the Kvetchers, right? And after that, there's the Misavim, those the Hisavu Tava, what he called those who want the Taiva. So it's a strange thing. So there are different ways to understand it. We're going to go with Tosis, just because I think that'll be really cool. That'll get the point closer, even though Rashi has a different parish here in the Gemara. Tosis says that really it is dividing one catastrophe from another catastrophe. Why? Because the first catastrophe is they left, right? Har Sinai, Kitinoch Aborech Mibes HaSefer. In other words, it's hidden. It's hidden because it's really, they didn't say anything. It's all attitudinal. Because you don't see it in the psukim because they didn't say anything. They didn't do anything. They didn't say anything wrong. But their attitude was like a Tinoch Aborech Mibes HaSefer. Well, we can leave now? Why, Baruch Hashem, finally we can leave before they teach us any more laws. In order to create a break between that and the next two Averas, which were fall, where they spoke out, Misonanim, and Misavim, Kivas Atava, etc. So in order to create a break between that, so according to the opinion that Rashi brings, so they place those two psukim, Vayhi ben Sa Aaron, right, and Uvnucha Yomar, to break it up. So take a look on top of page 2 there. Flip side. Right? There, that's the Gemara in Shabbos. It says, Tan Rabbanan, Vayhi ben Sa Aaron, Vayom Moshe, Parshazu Asala Kodesh Baruch Hu Simanios. He made signs. Lo Moshe, Ein Zemekoma. To tell you, this is not really its place. Rebbe Omer, Lo Min Hashem Hu Zeh, So there's Machlokas, the Tanakama, right, and Rebbe. Right? Tanakama is of the opinion that the reason why it's placed over here, because this is not really it's placed over here, right? It's not doesn't really belong over here, and that's why it's bracketed with the backwards nunim. Right, and Rebbe says no, it could be over here, why not? There's no reason for it not to be over here because we're talking about traveling from Har Sinai, so we say Vayhi ben Sa Aaron, right, it's an appropriate place, but the reason why it's bracketed is to show that it's a sefer into itself, a book into itself. So the Gemara continues, Keman Ozla Hada Omar of Shmuel Bar Nachman Omar of Yonasan, according to which opinion, right, is the words of Shmuel bar Nachman, the name of Yonasan, brings a pasuk in Koheles, Chotzva Amudeh HaShiva, its pillars were quarried out, 7 in number, Elu Shiva Sifrei Torah, there's 7 books in the Torah, not 5, so when you bought your set of Chumashim, you got a bargain, because you only pay for 5, but really 7, yeah, Shiva Sifrei Torah, Keman Kerebi, right, like Rebbe, because Rebbe says it's a book into itself, so what comes out is this Bereishis, Shvos, Vayikra, that's 3. Bamidbar up until Vayhi ben Sa Aaron. Then there's Vayhi ben Sa Aaron and Uvnucha Yomar, that's a book into itself. Then there's from there to the end of Bamidbar, that's number 6. And then there's Dvarim, 7 books, Chatzal Medea Shiva. So that's according to Rebbe. So the two opinions here, right, in the Gemara, right? This is what appears. Right? Let's say there's 2 of them. 7 plus 3. But what do you call it? I think it's 2. Right? I don't want to say. What do you call it? Let's say it's 2. There's 2 opinions. There's Rebbe who says it's a book into itself. right? Rebbe says that the reason why it's bracketed with the back upside, the reverse nunim, is because it's a book into itself, Rav Shimon Gamliel says no. The reason why it's bracketed with the reverse nunim is because it's a book into itself, but because it's coming to divide one calamity from another calamity. And Tosis said the calamity that we're talking about over here is the fact that they attitudinally, which is not written in the Chumash explicitly, because it's again it's only in their machshava, yeah, they attitudinally left Yahar Sinai with what he called with Kedina Kaborek Beis HaSefer, right? Yeah. Enough already. And then afterwards they came to the Misonanim, and then afterwards the Kibbutz HaTava. So to break that up, we put in these two psukim. Okay. Now, if you look, right, let's take a look at the progression. Right. What are we trying to do when we're breaking up this pattern? Right. In other words, what does it help? What does it help? Especially if you think like Tosis, right? If you're saying like Tosis, like Tosis says, the first sin, right, is not something that's written explicitly in the Chumash, right? Hey, you can deduce it, maybe, right? But whatever, it's not explicitly written. They left like a Tina Kobrea from Beis HaSefer. The second sin is the Misonanim. The third sin is Kibbutz HaTava. What does it help? What does it help to change the structure of the Chumash, to put these other two psukim here? We know what happened. Are we trying to rewrite history? We're not trying to rewrite history. Right? Because it happened. According to Tosis, what happened was, first they were Atina Kabarech and Bisa Sefer. After that, they were Misonanim. After that, there was Kibbutz HaTava. What does it help to change the way it looks on the Chumash? It doesn't change anything. Elamai, it's for us. Right? It's for us. It's for us maybe to realize that we're not doomed necessarily, or perhaps to teach us how to put the brakes on. In other words, the pasuk says in Koheles, Al tiyatzedek harbe, it says Al tirsha harbe, don't be exceedingly wicked. What does it mean exceedingly wicked? You can be a little wicked. Al tirsha harbe means that when you realize you're in a downward spiral, put the brakes on.
Stop.
Right. Don't, you know, sometimes we lose hope, sort of, or we become disgusted with ourselves, or our self-concept sort of like goes down the drain when we realize that we messed up, or we're in the process of messing up, and we just say, oh, the hell with it. And we just let it go with the flow, and then we descend into the abyss, right? If we're aware of that a process is unfolding, and we know there is such a process, and that's the process, and the Torah tells us that a way to put on the brakes. So let's see what happened over here. The first thing, right, is that they left Ketina Kobreach and Beis HaSefer. They left, I don't want to hear it anymore. I can't handle it anymore. I mean, really, when you think about it, if you think for a scooch, let's go back to Maamar Har Sinai. In Maamar Har Sinai, so the Jewish people said, Nasa V'Nishma. They were really into it.
Mm-hmm.
But then Chazal darshan out that they're Batachti Sahar, but they stood at the bottom of the mountain. Chazal darshan out, Kafaleim Har Kigigis. Hashem held above them the mountain like a barrel. He says, "In tikablei mutav, you accept it, fine. If love, sham take rust. That's going to be your end. You're going to die. That'll be the end of you." So why Chazal pouring cold water? The Chumash says nafu nishma. They're all singing, they're dancing, they're excited, Nasa and Nishma. And comes along Chazal and they say, no, because we're held above them, right? Kafalim harkigigis. Harkigigis. Right? Harkigigis. He says, and if you accept it, fine, and if not, that's it, you become fratara. So what's going on? So there are different answers to the question, but the Medrash says, the Medrash Tanchuma says, that the reason is because on Torah Shvichsav they said Nasa Nishma. It's beautiful and it's contained. Right? In Torah Shabbal Peh, first of all, to understand it, you got to break your head. And then, even after you understand it, there are halachas and more halachas. And no, oh, this is a problem. That's, be careful, be careful. Oh, but you have to do it like this in order to do it the right way, etc., etc. And people are saying, maybe we should rethink our position here. On that, of course, Baruch Hu said to him, Kofalim harkigigis. If you accept it, that's fine. If not, that's the end. Right? There's the contained, the beautiful, etc. You got to know that I'm giving you something that is going to lead you to something even more beautiful. But you have to grit your teeth sometimes, right, in order to overcome all the misunderstanding and the rethinking and the application and be careful of that and be aware of this and make sure that you do it properly, etc., etc., etc. L'chora on that, right? On that, they said, at the end, what do you call it? Kodesh Baruch said, time to leave. They said, whoa, finally. 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 Right? Because we're doing it. We're doing it. Okay, finally. That's a lack of faith. That's a lack of faith that this process is leading you to something much better, much greater. Right? So the idea of trying to avoid it is like trying to avoid your own goodness. But you can imagine, people feel pretty ambivalent when they're doing that, when they know that that's their attitude. Because they really want to be, right? They really want to be Nasim and Nishma all the way. So when their reaction is, finally we're finished with this. It's too much already. Too much already. What do you call it? You know, I couldn't learn another day. I couldn't learn another day. In the essence, it's antithetical to what the Torah is. The Torah is all about constant growth, never stopping. And hear him say, "I can't anymore." It's really lack of faith in one's own ability. What comes after that, right? Is really, I think, a sense of self-loss. When a person begins to think, oh my goodness, that's what I'm thinking about, I am absolutely chopped liver. Right? That's my attitude. Mm-hmm. And says the more of a shamish, if you look there on page 2, right? The more of a shamish, it says, Vayyam kimisonanim, says the more of a shamish, al pi. Dvarai Elias Bar Parshas Uva Hia Am Kimisonim Rabbas Ni Hashem Perish Enaflu La Atzvus. Atzvus. They became depressed. They became melancholy, despondent. Vahu Migzeras Onim. Right? And as he says, Vahia Am Kimisonim. He says, Vahia Am Kimisonim. Misonim means that they were in a state like aninus, just like aninus, God forbid, when a person passes away, right, before the burial takes place, so their relatives are onanim. It's a state of deep mourning. So in other words, the first reaction to their failure to properly appreciate the Torah, and they recognized that as they went into atzvos. Now, I'm not saying the more of a shemesh continues on, what he called, etc., right? But I'm saying Rashi also has a pshat in misonim. Rashi has a pshat in misonim, right? Is loshan alila, mevakshim alila, heich lifrosh me'achrei ha'mokom. They're looking for excuses, yeah? To turn away from Hashem. Because when a person is at work, a person, yeah, he feels that he's not living up to his standards. So he feels this vacuum now exists inside of himself. He is in a state of melancholy, still melancholy. So there are two ways you can go then, right? I don't want to live in this state of despondency, so I got to strike at it. It's not my fault. It's their fault, right? It's their fault. It's Hashem's fault. He put too much on me. It's Moshe's fault. He put too much on me, right? That's why I can't handle it. That's why I'm feeling like this, rather than taking responsibility for it, etc. So I'm using, excuse me, poetic license, as it were. I'm saying in Misonim, there are two concepts. There is the concept of the Mo'or of Hashemesh, right? Who's saying that Misonim is Meloshon Onim, a sense of mourning. And then there's the Misonim of Rashi, which is the misonym of a sense of complaining. To'una, right? God, they're looking for an excuse to complain. It's two sides of the same coin. I can't handle this sense of feeling, you know, worthless, not having lived up to what I could have done, and therefore I strike out. It's their fault. It's the next one's fault. It's the third one's fault, etc. You see this happen to people. You see this happen to people, right? Mm-hmm. And then, now, what do you call it? What am I going to do now? What's going to give me life? Tava. I remember I talked about that billboard, you know, on the Van Wyck or the Grand Central, coming back from the airport, from JFK. Yeah, what do you call it? It was for Newport Cigarettes, Alive with Pleasure. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's still there. It was there for ages. I remember every time I got off the plane from California, I remember it was there. And then afterwards I saw it. It was always there. Alive with Pleasure, right? Alive with Pleasure. A person needs to feel alive. See, either he feels alive because he knows he's attached to Elokim Chaim, but he feels he's not attached to Elokim Chaim, so how's he going to feel alive? Live with pleasure. So that's what he called the entire structure, right? The entire structure is, we can leave now. It's not like they demanded to leave. We said we're going to leave now. Oh, Baruch Hashem, finally, you missed the point. The Torah is always is more and more and more. Never, what do you call it? Never, okay, you finally made it. That's a Avodah Zarah. You finally made it. There is no you finally made it in Torah. Oh, Yivei. I'm feeling like that. Oh, Misonanim. More of a Shamish is Misonanim. I mourn my own self-loss. Rashi is Misonanim now. It's not my fault. It can't be my fault. It's their fault.
It's never my fault.
It strikes out. And now, what am I going to do to fill up my life? Because my life now feels empty. Because now I've really cut myself off. What do I do? Just give me meat. Right? Whatever type of meat it happens to be.
The diversion.
Right. Alive with pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
The rectification of that. So what did the Torah tell us? The rectification of that is found, in the two psukim, Vayhi ben Tzohar Aron, and Uvenucho Yomar, surrounded by the Nunim, by the reverse Nunim. Vayhi ben Tzohar Aron, right? Vayhi ben Tzohar Aron. So Rashi says, if you took a look on page 3, the last two citations there. Right, Vayhi ben Tzohar Aaron, Vayom Moshe, Kum Hashem v'yafutzoi vecha, v'yanusim misanecha, mipanecha. So Rashi says misanecha. You see that there? Right, it's the next to last paragraph, the last line in the next to last paragraph. Misanecha.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Elu Soni Yisrael, Shekola Soni Es Yisrael, Soni Es Misha Amar v'haya Olam. V'yanusim misanecha, mipanecha. Says Rashi. Who are misanecha? Those are the Soni Yisrael. And I'm asking you to dispel, right? By even Tzaharom, by Moshe, Kum Hashem v'yafutzoi vecha v'yanusa misanecha mipanecha. These are the Soni Yisrael, the ones who hate us. Because anyone who hates the Jewish people hates the one who, what do you call it? Who said, let the world be. Mm-hmm. In other words, embedded in that, there's two lessons in these psukim. And now you can understand how Rav Shimon Gamliel, right? Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe, they have two attitudes in the two psukim. There is the quality of those two psukim that speaks of the greatness of the Jewish people. And as we are the chariot of Hashem's presence in the world. And the proof of the pudding is that those who hate us hate Hashem. The world identifies us with being the chariot of Hashem. The world identifies Hashem, Kaviyachu, with us. We are not chopped liver. We are not chopped liver. And we'll never be chopped liver. Right? Right? Because those who hate us hate the Rabbonu Shel Olam. Uvenucho Yomar, Rashi says, right? Shuva Hashem, Losh Magoa, tranquility. Right, b'shuv v'nachas tivashun, revavos alfei Yisrael magid she'en hashchina shorah b'Yisrael p'chusim mishnei alafim mishnei revavos. The place of the shechina to rest is once again only in the Jewish people when you have 22,000 of them there, like the Machane Levia. That allows the shechina to rest in the world. So these two psukim, right, speak of both on the reactive, right, and there's all those who stand against us really stand against Hashem. And if Hashem's presence is to rest in the world, it requires from the Jewish people. The Jewish people should be a congregation upon which His presence can rest. So these two psukim, when we're taught, when the Jewish people are flying high, Hashem is going to vanquish our enemies, right? Because why? Because our enemies are His enemies. When the Jewish people are flying high, now we gather together. Now we don't have to be involved in any wars or worried about any wars, concerned about any wars. Now we are in a state of rest. Hashem rests upon us. The Shekhinah is there. We just blossom. But it's also, those two psukim are also the psukim that remind us when we've fallen, this is who you are.
Get up.
This is who you are. Mm-hmm. This is who you are. What do you call it? What are you getting bent out of shape for? This is who you are. So both according to Rebbe, that it's a sefer into itself, and according to Shimon Gamliel, that it's out of place, it doesn't belong here, but it's put here in order to break between the Puranos. The idea is that when a person finds himself in this state, right, of falling, right, of feeling a sense of, oh my goodness, why did I think like that? Really, I'm nothing, I'm a zero, I'm an Ephes. Yeah, oh, now, what do you call it? I'm not worthy. Ugh, why do I feel so cruddy? It's not my fault. Someone else's fault. Right? It's the rabbi's fault. Right? It's God's fault. It's anybody's fault. Not my fault. Right? And then what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I have to fill up my life with something. So I find something else to fill it up with. To rectify it, you've got to remember who you are. Right? Vayhi ben So'aron, uvenucho yomar. So now, back up a scooch. To see the Marsha there. Marsha says in Gemara Simanios, right? You see the Marsha there, it's the third line down from the top on page 3. Lamanda Omer Shein Ze Mekoma El Kadila Hafsik Bein Puranius. Right, it's only here to block, right, the calamities, to create a break in the calamities. They shouldn't be one after the other. In other words, what we're saying now is it's not just a perfunctory break in the calamities. It's really giving us also, yeah, the tools on how to put the brakes on. So we shouldn't full slide, yeah, into the abyss. Kiramasik yish lechaving shalkein bo ela simanim benunim hafuchim. Why Nunim Afuchim? I said before that some of the Rishonim say it's Nunim Afuchim because according to the opinion that really belongs 50 parshas earlier. Okay, but he's not going like that. He says, Mesiman Nunim Afuchim, Ki Anun Mora Al Puranus, Koshakosa Per Kamed Brachos, Shakein Lo Nicht of Nun Ba Ashrei, Lefishi Hi Mora Al Hanafila, Valkein Heim Afuchim, Shis Hapech Hanafila Latova. Amazing thing. Al Shem, Somech Hashem Lechol Noflim Koshakosav Sham. He's talking about the Gemara there in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos, where Daf Hey, I think it's Hey.
whatever.
The Gemara says that why did David HaMelech leave the Nun out of Ashrei? Right? Mm-hmm. There's no Nun. So the Gemara says the reason he left the Nun out of Ashrei is because there's a pasuk that says Amos Nafla Lo Tosif Kum Besulas Yisrael. You have fallen. The pasuk reading is Nafla Lo Tosif Kum. You have fallen and you will not rise again. Besulas Yisrael. That's a pasuk from the Navi. That's a catastrophe. Mm-hmm. You have fallen. He's saying you have fallen. You will not rise again. You will not rise again. So the Gemara says, but Bemarov and Eretz Yisrael, they didn't read the pasuk that way. They read it like this: Nafla lo tosif. You have fallen. You will not fall again. Comma. Kum besulas Yisrael. Rise besulas Yisrael. And don't read it the way it appeared to you at first glance. Right? Read it. Nafla lo tosif. You have fallen. You will not fall again. Comma. Kum besulas Yisrael. Rise besulas Yisrael. So then that begs the question, so why not put it back in Ashrei? Mm-hmm. Right? If that's the right way to read it, right, to put it back in Ashrei. Ella, on the surface, it really looks like the straight reading. There are situations in a person's life, there are situations in Klai Yisrael's history, where it looks like, Nafla lo tosif kum. It looks like if you fall and you will not rise again, Besulas Yisrael. But we know Ba'omek, we know in depth, We know in the depths of depths, really that's not the way to read it. So in the straight reading of Ashrei, right? We don't put it right. Not only that, but because it so looks like that, yeah, that the next pasuk after, so Mech Hashem Lechon Oflim, is a reference, Hashem should support. Right? In that state, when you're in that experience, when you're in that those moments or the period or that epic where you, it looks like there's no hope, right? But we ask Hashem, Someh, Hashem Lechol Noflim is okay for Chol Noflim, Hashem should support us, don't let us fall completely. But in the depths of depths, in the heart of hearts, we know it's really Nafla Lo Tosif, if you fall and you will not fall again. Kum Besulas Yisrael. So says the Marsha, that's why it's Nunim Afuchim. Because on surface, what's happening over here looks like a catastrophe. Looks like there's a slide right down into what he called into the cesspool. Mm-hmm. Right? Ketino Kaborech and Besa Sefer to what he called the misononym of what he called of the more of a Shamesh to the misononym of Rashi, right? Into the Kivos HaTava. But it's Nuna Fuchim because Hashem will be Mahapechet. Right? It can reverse. You just have to remember the depth of the reading of the Pasuk. Of the nun pasuk is Nafla lo tosif. You fall, and you will not fall again. Kum besulas Yisrael, rise besulas Yisrael. That's the Rasha. I mean, whatever, yeah. Right? I mean, you see what he called that. I think really you can say that in the Rasha in the first parish. A little bit of the Gemara Brachos, a little bit from the way Rav Kook understood and stands the Gemara there in the Inayah. But then he continues, says the Marsha, right? Ulamanda Amar, underneath the underline inside that paragraph of the Marsha. Mm-hmm. Right, it says, Ulamanda Amar, Sefer Choshu Bifne Atzmo. Oh, according to Rebbe, it's not here, right, to block the calamity, but it's a Sefer Choshu. And we said there are two ways of understanding. You can either see it as a means of correction, or it could be a means of describing the greatness of the Jewish people. Sefer Choshu Bifnei Atzmo Hashem Chotz Vamudei Hashiva Bo Anunim B'Sefer Zeh Shu Koton Shebesfarim She'ein Bo Rak Shnei Psukim L'Rameis Shigam Sefer Azeh Kolel Nun Shari Bina Ve'im Afuchim She'mishapchim Midas B'nei Odom Shlo Yuchol La'amor Aleihem. Interesting. He says the Nun Afuchim, right? The Nun Afuchim, mm-hmm, is what he called, the Nun Afuchim are a remnant to Nun Shari Bina. Shari Bina, what's Bina? Is where a person understands. We always receive Chachma, And there's Nun Shari Bina. There are 50 levels of understanding, that which I've received. Deep, deeper, 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 deeper. I'll mention parenthetically, the Chidah says, they bring the name of the Chidah, I think. I think I've even seen it, right? But it says that these two psukim, Vayhi ben Saul Aaron and Uvnuch Yomar, it's a book into itself, is really the biggest book of the entire Chumash.
Because of all the interpretation is possible.
because in these two psukim, it really is the saga of the Jewish people. It's like a zip file. Mm-hmm. In this, right, the Jewish people, right, the Jewish people, they travel, they have to resist their enemies. Because why? Because our enemies are really Hashem's enemies. And then there are periods in which finally we have some repose, we can bring the Shekhinah into our base medrash again. But then there are other aspects again where we're struggling against, and we've got to remember that our enemies are Hashem's enemies, right? And then times of repose, etc. And they're bounded by these two nunim, right? What's pshat in all of this? Why are we going through all of this? Why is this roller coaster, as it were? The Nun Shari Bina, and they're reversed. Sometimes we can't understand why we're going this way. So really what comes out is that the ones who say the Nunim HaFuchim are based upon, yeah, Nafalo Tosif Kum Besulas Yisrael, there the purpose of the Nunim is corrective. You think you're nothing, you think it's hopeless, you think you'll fall and you'll never get up again. Not true.
You will.
You will. You will, right? It may take time, but you're not chopped liver, and you will rise again, right? You will rise again. Nafla, right? Lo tosif. You may have fallen, but you will not fall again. Kum, rise up, Besulas Yisrael. Corrective. According to Rebbe, that it's safer into itself, it's actually proactive. We're flying, but what in the world is going on? What is going on? What do you call it? We're traveling through the time periods. We're trying to understand. Trying to understand what that which Hashem is setting before us. And sometimes I don't understand it. It's a fuch. But that's also part of the Torah. So. I think what we're saying here, I think, is very true. Right? It really is just us here right now. But Mr. Hashem, we're going to send this out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking of a number of people to whom this is very shaykh. All this discussion. Shaykh to us also. But to those who are listening and think that it's sounds like a biography, right? It is. So Mitzvah Shem, all's well that ends well, right? Ahi ben Saharon, Uvenuchu Yomar. We are the only game that Hashem has in this town called Olam Hazeh. And if we believe in ourselves, and even when we start to slide, learn how to put on the brakes, Shem Yazor, give us Yatza Deshmaya, and we'll be Zocha to an everlasting Uvenuchu Yomar, Shuvah Hashem Ruvos Hafi Yisrael.